Good, ladies. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 9, if you will. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse number 1, where we'll start. There's a whole passage here, and there's a whole story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, to be honest with you. I don't know whether I've ever preached on it, but I love this story. It's humorous, and yet it's potent. And we're going to do the first 16 verses tonight, because there's a lot of other things I want to see in this. So I always go long when the kids come for their evening out. I don't know why I always have them, but it does. So I'm trying not to do that, and I'll try to get done in good time. But John chapter 9, there's a few points I want you to see here. There's way more we can talk about than we can do in one night. And this is a neat story. I love it. Some of you know what happens after verse 16 and all those kind of things. And some of you may sneak home and read the rest of it before next week, and that's fine. But I love this passage. John chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by," within the normal context of Jesus' ministry, "he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him.'" There's the way the grammar is. They're making their assumption there that the reason, so you kind of have to fill in there. He says, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the reason he was born blind was so that," and there is, "that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The grammar would be placed right in there. Verse 4. Jesus goes on, he says, "I must work the works of him that sent me," which includes this man born blind. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Kind of gross, but this is what he did. He spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle. And he anointed, or he kind of wiped the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. It was there for a reason. That pool was there for a reason. Also for the glory of God. Just as some of you remember, we did a message years ago on "Is this a Red Sea?" And it came around the corner, and all of a sudden there was the Red Sea. Why did God put it there? For the glory of God. Why did he put the mountain over there? For the glory of God. So that when the Egyptians showed up and the Israelites were stuck, that God would show who he is. So he went his way, end of verse 7, he went his way and therefore, and washed and came seeing. So he went his way therefore. Why? Because Jesus said so. And washed and came seeing. Ta-da! It worked. Verse 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" And some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." But he said, "No, it's me. I am he." Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered, and he said, "A man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went, and I washed, and I received my sight." Then say they unto him, "Where is he?" He says, "I don't know. I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Simple message tonight. But sometimes it's these messages that can really turn around our walk with God. Or maybe simply refresh our walk with God. Revive our walk with God. Make it all new again. I like these kind of messages, and I think it would be a blessing to you. Let's pray. We're going to talk about trust and obey to see the impossible. Trust and obey to see the impossible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. I thank you for the way you speak to our hearts. And Lord, this passage just kind of popped out at me the other day, and as I was reading and studying, and I just felt like it just kind of, this was it. This was what we needed tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. I don't know what the needs are, but you do. I don't know where their hearts are, but you do. I don't know what obstacle they have in their life that seems impossible, but you do. You saw that man born blind, and you knew that he was going to be born blind. And you knew that one day he was going to sight back. And you were going to work it all out so that you would be manifest. Lord, I pray that you'll show yourself very great and mighty in our folks and amongst our people here. Lord, may we take some courage in what we hear tonight. Take some instruction. Rebuke if we have to. But discernment that we will simply trust and obey. So, Lord, speak to us here, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. It's always amazed me how people in the Bible were like scared to admit that Jesus was actually God. That's kind of what the Pharisees, it can't be right. This must be something else. It was almost as if they would rather struggle through life than have God take control and make something good out of it. Let me say that again. And by the way, sometimes it is for like us. Sometimes like we'd almost rather struggle through life then have God take control and make something good out of it. It was not so much that they didn't want the blessings, but they didn't want to go beyond their understanding because then it would be out somewhere outside of their control. So we do the same thing. Well, I don't understand how this worked. Well, what's going on here? That can't be true. Well, it's getting kind of strange here. Wait a minute. Do you realize God's a supernatural God? In fact, God put such order in creation, in our universe here, so that when he goes contrary to normal processes, we all know. If everything was chaotic and he threw something in, it wouldn't make any difference because who knows what was supposed to happen. But when something we know just the way it works, just the way it has to be, and then God steps in and he does something that only God could do, then we realize it's God, the one who made the rules, knows how to break the rules. He can override the rules. We get so stuck in all this, we think, well, no, it can't happen like that because this is the way it is. Like we talked about a little earlier, but God. I think it's time, Christianity, maybe some folks in this room, that we take a deep breath and give our lives in this ministry over to the Lord and see our God do the impossible. We have seen him, God, do the improbable. We've seen that already. I mean, a church that was almost dead, didn't have enough money to make things go and so forth. And this wasn't Sterling Walsh. We just simply started preaching the gospel. We just started honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting him up, and people started coming. That's all it was. At that point in time, I could dream about a building like this back here, but that's all it was a dream. It wasn't probable, but not impossible. I've seen lives change in the last 15 years. There are people in here who give testimony how their lives have changed quite a bit. If, all things going normal, that's improbable. But it's happened. I think God wants to show His glory in these days as much as He did in those days. And we may not be seeing blind men come to see, but on the other hand, we've seen God bring some people off the deathbeds. We've seen some things happen. We thought they were all gone. This is it. And back up, and here they're going again. Jesus did the impossible through some balls of clay. God wants to use the little dirt piles that have our names on them to show who He really is. I think those things draw the people in, and then we can introduce them to Jesus. They say, "What happened? We know you. Something's different about you." Yeah, I can see. You realize that there's going to be a lot of people over the years. In fact, there's people already in this room that people have said to them, "Well, you don't do it the same way you did." No, I see different. What I used to see doesn't make sense anymore. Now what I see, like Moses, seeing Him who was invisible. Seeing Him who is invisible rather than to enjoy the sins of Egypt for a time, a season. All of a sudden we look at things differently. You turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world grow strangely dim. We start seeing things in a different way. And people say, why do you do what you do? How is it that you change your life? He says, because I can see. See, I was blind, but now I can see. This passage has more in it than we can get to tonight. But I want to draw your attention to a couple things. Number one, this is one of those statements you just think, duh, okay, I know that part. But God put it in there. You know, every word was put in here on purpose. Even these little things, you think, well, okay, all right, I'll tell you what, God didn't waste space in His Bible putting a lot of words in that don't mean anything. It's too much He had to say. If we brought everything we could say, like John said, the books wouldn't have enough books to hold it all. We couldn't do it. But He put it all in here concisely so we can carry it with us. We got it black and white. Right here is His book. Number one, ready? The man is blind. Duh. The man is blind. It says, and Jesus passed by and He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Ready for this? The man was blind. It means he can't see. Now we can all, play the game and cover our eyes and try to live like it is. We used to do, we did that when I was in high school. We did something, I forget what we were doing, but they put blindfolds on us and they had to lead us around as if we were, blind. He cannot see. Watch this. He has never been able to see. It's not like he was blind, he could see and then he was blind and now, so he remembers what it's like. He's never seen a flower. He's never seen the sun. He's never seen the moon or the stars. He's never seen his mother's face. He's never seen the sunset. How do you describe to somebody what they have never seen? Well, it's red. What's red? Well, it's kind of red with a little bit of gold in there, and the light's... What's that? What's light? Totally, and I use the word, ignorant, unlearned, does not have any information to even compare it to. Now, he has probably hoped something could happen, and he's been maybe kind of waiting with his finger crossed that something could happen to his eyesight, yet never really expecting anything to change or have anything come along to help it. Unless something miraculous happens, he will never see. We live in a time when something needs to happen. It seems impossible, and yet down deep in our hearts, we would love to see God bring some light back into our lives, back into the lives of our nation and our people. It seems the world cannot see truth, and frankly, Why should we ever expect the world will see truth? Now be honest. How many people, how many of us, you don't have to show your hands, but how many people know someone that needs the touch of God on them? And it appears impossible that anything will ever change. And it may be someone you know, or it might be you. Let me say this. We were born blind. Our children are born blind. They don't know what it means when they're born to see truth, to see the reality, what it really is within the economy of God. Children are being born and growing up, never knowing, never having seen, for instance, the America that we knew. They have no idea. So they think this is normal. You see what I'm saying? They started in the dark and will live in the dark and not miss the light because this is the way it's always been. They never had the light. That's what's going on in our world. When you say, what were they thinking? Don't they see straight? No. Because no one has ever turned a light on. They have no concept of what it means to be a Christian and live a life of faith. Maybe that is the condition of someone in this room this evening. Unless the Lord opens their eyes, they will always be blind. You hear me? And that will be normal reality. They don't have to always be blind. The Lord can open the eyes of the blind. But it's going to take a miracle from God. Someone more powerful than us is going to have to bring this to pass. This is totally outside the realm of our ability. How many times in the songs we sing, I once was blind, but now I see. Didn't understand. The whole thing, listen, when Jan and I joined an independent Baptist church down in Westminster, this was a whole subculture we knew nothing of. And a lot of you folks are the same way. Now, some of you grew up in a good Bible-believing church and so forth, but this was a whole subculture we knew nothing of. I remember when we found out they had church on Sunday night. We get to go back on Sunday night. We sit there and listen to the preacher, and poor Janet, she'd go home with bruised ribs because they say, that makes sense. Did you hear what the preacher said? That makes sense. Not all those hooped it up, that we hear it in other churches. He's telling me what the Bible says. It makes sense. Well, that makes sense. Well, you remember what so-and-so said? But I thought, this makes sense right here, you know? And it was wonderful. I remember when I found out they have church on Wednesday night. I couldn't get back quick enough. Listen, I was hungry. Because you know what somebody was doing? They were opening my eyes. Now, I was already saved. I was already saved, 11-year-old Sunday school teacher down in the basement of that little church I grew up in. But there was so much that I didn't know. And all of a sudden, we were seeing truth. It was making a difference in our life. You know, we're wanting the world to see and understand the things of God, but they're blind. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What's it saying? Oh, Satan and his imps and the world and everything around us wants to do everything he can to cover their eyes to the truth. Because our hearts aren't naturally that. Our hearts are naturally deceitful. Desperately wicked. And the world plays off of that. Does everything akin to propagate that, to continue that, to keep that progress. Don't let them see the light. And you know, old Satan will do anything he can to, listen, to kick some of us in the backside so we yell and scream like the rest of the world. And they say, well, that's not where the light is. And then there comes somebody else, and then they see this happen, and some other preacher falls, and some guy that everybody knows or whatever, and they don't know where the light is. And God and the world is trying to keep them blind. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how do we know we're blind? How do we know we're blind? Watch. Well, 1 John 2:8 says this, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, watch, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now listen, you can find out whether you're walking in the light or whether you're not by the way you treat others. Whether you care, whether you not care. We had an interesting wedding recently, and I was trying to, you know, I like to do a little message at the beginning of the service, and they had a lot of kids there, and one of them they couldn't quite get settled down, and so the bridesmaid actually brought him up here on the platform. And then he let go, and he was climbing here and doing this and climbing here. And then one of them down here started screaming and yelling, and I'm trying to talk, and nobody could hear a thing. Now, you know what my flesh wanted to do? Shut up! You know, get these kids out of here. I don't want to. So you had a job? Yes, I did. I'm trying to be nice here, but they didn't know any different. You know why? They've been living in darkness for a long time. They don't know any different. You say, well, they ought to know better than that. Why? Why? I could have shown this. I could have despised them. I could have, you know, looked down my nose at them, or, you know, shown kind of hatred or anger or whatever. But the fact is, they're a soul that Christ loves. He died for. So he says, we can tell whether we're walking in darkness or whether we're not. How's your temper? How easily are you provoked? Love is not easily provoked. And he says, now, if you're walking in darkness, then he says, you better watch out. You're going to be stumbling in other areas of your life. Because if we walk in darkness, we're not seeing truth as it really is, because we're blinded. But Jesus can make us see. The hatred that's in this world reveals to us just how blind it is. And we might be surprised to find out maybe how blind we are, how dim our eyes may be. So the man was born blind. He's always been blind, always will be blind, unless God does something very important. Number two, watch this. The man is blind due to no fault of his own. The man is born blind due to no fault of his own. Verse 2 says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I've always had a problem with that. I mean, what do you mean, him? He was born blind. He didn't have a chance to sin. Believe it or not, several scholars said that there was a belief, as it is over in the Eastern world now, a certain amount of reincarnation thought. Even amongst the Jews, because they were amongst the Romans and the other worldly religions, that they were all there in the midst of it all. And so some scholars believe that there are some sense of belief in what they call transmigration, in that the culture of the day, including the Pharisees, even believing that that they had an earlier life and they messed up, and so now he's blind because of something he did. They were wondering of his condition, whether it was somehow retribution for the sins in the past. Sounds kind of crazy. Verse 3, but Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This is really on the side here, but it bears mentioning. Being in the perfect will of God does not mean that there's no problems. Being in the perfect will of God does not mean that everything's going to be normal. I don't know how old this man was, but he'd been born blind. Everybody knew it. He was a grown man. And he had to be blind long enough that everybody in town knew who he was and that they knew he was blind. Because when God did something, everybody was going to know it. Sometimes God has to allow something in your life that's big enough, bad enough, so that when he works, everybody knows he did it. One of these days, when we're walking through glory, I can see him going through. I'm the man that was born blind. That's me. I told the Pharisees off, and we're going to get to that later. I told the Pharisees off, boy, this is really, you don't even know where this man is, and he's running around making our blind eyes see. I think you better do your job a little better. That was me. But you know what? If he had never been born blind, he would have never been used of God in such a tremendous way that it was included in God's word. He was born blind, and it was no fault of his own. He inherited his blindness from this sin-cursed world. We're born sinners. His blindness came from Adam. Because of Adam's sin, there was a curse that was brought on. There never would have been disease. Genetic problems, all those things wouldn't have been here. But the fact is, God allows those things. Why? If you're going to, he says that you sin, so now we're going to use your sin, make all things work together, forget. We're going to use your sin to show you what sin does. And when we show you what sin does, then we can show you what God does. And Lord willing, since it's your will that needs to be exercised, you'll choose God over your sin. Now let's not look down on them as if we have no sin. He that is without sin cast the first stone. Why was he born blind? Why has he got this going on in his life? What do you have to, well, I'll tell you what, he must be a terrible sinner. Not necessarily. And it's not our business to figure it out. The sin was not a consequence of his sin. The blindness was not a consequence of his sin. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do not condemn people for having been born sinners. Don't condemn them for having been born blind. Don't despise them, look down your nose because they've been born blind. We do that. I mean, when you see somebody's blind, it's always don't want to touch it like it's catchy. Isn't it weird how we are? He must be a terrible person, or God will fix that. Well, maybe it's just not time for God to fix it yet. Maybe God wants them to, maybe there's for some reason, like Paul, there's supposed to be a thorn in the flesh that God's not going to take away. And we may not know until we get the other side. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Well, you know, we don't know. That does not negate what God's doing. God's got a work he's trying to do. We should not condemn people for having been born sinners. I tell you what, we ought to condemn ourselves for not taking them to the one that can heal the blindness brought on by the sin. That's where the condemnation ought to be. You know, somehow we think we're naturally good. Well, none of us are. And what sense of right and wrong that most of us have is because we were brought up in a culture that taught it. God allowed the incurable blindness in order to show himself all-powerful. The man was born blind. The man is blind, and he wasn't blind because of any fault of his own. Number three, God has allowed sin to show itself destructive so that he can show himself divine. God allows sin to show itself destructive so that he can show himself divine. Look at verse 3 again. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. That night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The man did not know it, but he had been brought into this world to bring glory to God. He had no idea. He was blind. He had, listen, things that everybody else had seen, he had never been able to see. Listen, he was born, he brought in this world to bring glory to God, to show the world who Jesus is. He's been blind, but he's about to see. We may not have been born blind, but we were still brought in the world to show who God is. Not only are his eyes going to see, but his heart is going to see. He's not only going to see physically, but he's going to see spiritually. See, Jesus is the light of the world. Ephesians 5:13 says this, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, makes known, is light. See, Jesus was turning on the light and making manifest, not only in the life of the blind man, but also in the life of all those that experienced the event, and thus also in the lives of all of us who read the account. He was turning on the light for us. The man was born blind, to no fault of his own. But God allows sin to show itself destructive so that he can show himself divine. Number four. If we want to see the impossible, or we want others to see the impossible, ready? We have to trust and obey. We have to trust and obey. Sometimes we're looking for some kind of big production. We're going to have a big day, and we're going to do it all one time. You know what I have found? That if God wants to do it all one time, he will. And I'm all for big days. We've got a big day coming up at the end of April. And that's all fine and dandy. I want to make some connections with folks in our area. And they're going to want you to help me. We're going to have a friend day. And we have invitations we're going to give out. And we'll come back, and the Lord willing, they're going to, you know, when they go, they all get gift cards and stuff that they can go down to Chick-fil-A and have lunch. They're not going to do it on Sunday. But they're going to have a Chick-fil-A dinner. And we're going to have some other things, a little book we're going to give them called Done. We don't have a do religion. We have a done religion. And we're going to give out some things. And it's going to be a nice gift, a nice little pouch there. And I want you to invite folks. Why are you doing it? Because I want you to invite them and say, well, I know they're going to like, they might not even like the message, but they'll like the package. You don't have to tell them you're going to get a package. But, you know, I want you to feel good about bringing them in here. We're going to have a great day. We're going to see what happens and give the gospel. Because there's an awful lot of folks who don't see, but can see if we'll show them. If we want to see the impossible, we're going to have to trust and obey. Look at verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, Jesus, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means set apart, the sent place. It was there for a reason. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And you know what we are? Surprised. He can see. Jesus said, all right, now go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Okay. Now, thing is, he can't see to get to the pool of Siloam. Somebody had to take him over there. Somebody had to help him get washed. Somebody had to lead him to the cleansing. You think he just walked there, but he didn't. But, you know, he leaves the crowd and someone helps him. Well, let's go to the pool of Siloam. So he had to talk somebody else into taking him there. What are you going to do there for? Well, he told me if I wash, he told me to go over and wash. What's it going to do? I'm not sure yet. I mean, look. He didn't say, Lord, I pray that I might see, that I might be able to see. He didn't say that. It just says Jesus saw him and he put clay on his eyes. And he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. I think God's got something good here. Let's do what we got. Now, he had never seen Jesus. He didn't know who he was. He'd never seen anybody else have their eyes opened. He'd never been able to see a leper cleansed. So what did he do? He said, he said unto the, go wash the pool of Siloam. So he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, I'm not going to make a list here this evening, but it could be that we're not obeying the Lord in a lot of silly little details as we should. I think we're not seeing God work in the amazing ways that he can. Are you obeying what God has told you to do? Well, there was a rain barrel over there, so I thought I'd go over there and I'd just wash this dirt out of my eyes that he put in there. That's not what he said. Dr. Curtis Hudson preached a message not long before he passed away. One of his most famous messages, and people know it. And simply is this: things that are different are not the same. Is that profound? Things that are different are not the same. Well, it's close enough. No, that's not the same. If this is the way God said to do it, then that's the way we should do it. But we don't need to do it that way anymore. I don't know. This is the way God said to do it, then I guess the way you ought to do it. He could have said, well, look, we don't need to go all the way to the pool of Siloam. There's got to be some water around here someplace. Someone's got a basin of water. There's a cistern here somewhere. The whole idea is to get the dirt out, right? No, the idea is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point. Are you obeying everything you know to obey, or are we making excuses? If you're not willing to be sent to the pool of Siloam and wash the dirt that Jesus put in your eye, you're not going to see the manifestation of the power of God that God has created you to be. Let me say that again. If we're not willing to go to the pool, the sent pool of Siloam, and wash the dirt that Jesus put in our eye, you're not going to be the manifestation of the power of God that God has created you to be. God's got something he wants to do. I wonder how many people have missed what God called us to do, what he created them to do, simply because we sort of followed. We kind of sort of did what he said. Well, it's close enough. Well, that other way just didn't seem like it was going to work. Well, what was it? Which did he say to do? Well, he said to do that, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem it was going to make work. So you now know more than God. How's that working? Obeying doesn't always make sense. Why didn't Jesus just finish the job right there? Why didn't he put, if he had to put the mud on there, why, you know, other times he just touched his eyes. Why he had to put mud on his eyes? I mean, he's taking a risk of damaging his eyes. You know what I'm saying? God never does it the same way twice. Why? Because he wants you to believe him. Not in the process, but him. See, we all saw this. I've been there, done that. Got this all worked out. Here's what you do. You do this and this and this and this and this, and God shows up. Now, because that's called religion. If I stand up the right time, I sit down the right time, and I say everything right, and I do everything I'm supposed to do at the right time, God's going to show up. Not necessarily. What he wants is us to trust and obey. You know what, for him to say, okay, let's go to Pool Siloam. And he didn't know Jesus. He didn't see Jesus. He didn't even know where he came from. He has no idea who he is. We're going to find that out later. He said, who is he? I don't know, just some man named Jesus. And you did it for what I had to lose. I sometimes think he put that grit in his eyes, so he really didn't have much choice but to go to water. You know? Maybe sometimes God puts something in our eyes, we have no choice but to go do what God tells us to do. God wants us to exercise our own faith. For him to walk where he cannot see, which is a walk of faith, but doing so in faith that he will see. Let me say that again. This is important. He walked where he could not see, which is a walk of faith, but he did so in faith that he could see. There are some things in this book. We want to see God do the impossible. And we've got all this reason why we can't do it the way it's in the book. And usually by the book, it's a whole lot simpler than what we have to do. We got this figured out and this figured out, and we're going to pull this together here. And God said, why don't you just get out of the way and let me do my work? Why don't you just let me move my power? You know what? God says, by the foolishness of preaching. He's going to save the world by the foolishness of preaching. Well, I think we need this and this and this and this. All those things are fine and dandy if they don't mess up the foolishness of preaching. Well, who are you? I'm nobody but an empty pile of dirt. That the best I can is yielded to him. And he takes that little mud pile that has my name on it and says, I can do something with you because you've given yourself to me. The same thing goes with every one of us. Every single one of us. So what did he do? He never saw the person who gave him the directions. And he's going to go someplace he can't see to wash and said, this is what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to work. Can't see how it's going to happen. But apparently, watch, when he went, he followed by faith, though he could not see. And when he did by faith what he was called to do, then he could see. We want God to show us the first from the last and this and that and put it all in place before we'll decide to follow him in faith. And we will never see, we will always be blinded if we're not willing to step out on faith first. If he's given us a direct order. Now you know the book. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is what he said. Let's do it. Sometimes we feel like God could do this an easier way. We think we are exercising faith when we decide how God should answer our prayer. We exercise faith. The exercise of faith is to obey no matter what he asks of us. We should obey no matter how unnecessary God's request appears to be. We don't need to go to the water Siloam. This is what over here. That's not what we said. We should obey no matter how silly it sounds. Number five. Almost done. Trust and obey no matter what others say. Trust and obey no matter what others say. The marvelous, amazing, supernatural works of God reveal the glory of God's presence and love. And we're going to miss out on it if we're not willing to do what God has called us to do. And a lot of times that happens because we listen to somebody else who had another story, who negated what he said, made fun of it. Look what it says in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, ooh, you have neighbors. And you know what neighbors do? They snoop. They peek out the window. I forget when it was, but we've had them say, well, I know you go to church at so-and-so time. I figured somebody must have been sick because you didn't go. Listen, God wants the glory, his glory to be seen by all, including the neighbors. The neighbors know who we are naturally. You know who we are? Sinners born blind. That's who we are. Sinners born blind. And then they see a new creation. What got into him?
I don't know. I think he got religion.
That's how the world says it. Because why? They don't know. They can't see him who is invisible.
That probably won't last.
I remember, and most of you wouldn't know who this guy is, but somebody might. And I'm not talking out of turn here because he would give you the same testimony. We had a fellow down in our way. His name was Larry Haynes. He's still alive. And he was a real estate salesman, but he loved to party. And to a certain extent, it wasn't unusual for at the end of the evening or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd dump him out on his front yard and leave, and his wife would go out and pick him up, drag him in, clean him up, sober him up. He was one of those drunks that was functional. The guy was making good money. He had a good business. He sold really, had his own business. He was doing a nice job. And normally during the day he's a really good guy, but it was just getting. Word got around. Larry Haynes got religion. What? Larry Haynes got religion. Now, Larry Haynes is not a shrinking violet. He walks in the room, everybody knows Larry's here. And when he was a partier, everybody knew where he was. Loud laugh, ha, 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 everybody just knew. He was there. And my dad sold real estate. So my dad knew Larry very well. And I remember my mom, her and her sister decided to take some Bible classes at the church the Open Door, where I ended up being on staff. They went over and took some Bible classes. My mom was saved and her sister was saved and so forth. And they had Washington Bible College was coming up. It was pretty decent at that time. And they'd come up and they were having classes. You'd go up and take classes. And I remember she came home. She told my father, you will never guess who came to Bible class. To the Bible class tonight. Larry Haynes. I think he was half lit. And he probably was. But the Lord had done something in his life and he was changing. And he kept coming. And Larry Haynes changed. And you didn't find him out on the yard at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you what you did. You found him Friday night on the yard, drunk. You know where you found him? Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, visiting. That's where you found him. His schedule changed. You find him down front, leading a sinner to the Lord at the invitation. He ended up being head deacon. Was for years. I think he's still on the deacon board. I don't think he's head deacon anymore, but he's older man, but he's been part of that church for a long time. And the neighbors all know. What do your neighbors know about you? Some people think that the current status that we're in is as good as it's going to get. And we need not bother trying to change the dismal state we're in. Well, this is the way it's always been. This is the way it always will be. The man's blind, doesn't know what's going on, and he will always be blind and ignorant of his surroundings. It's a lost cause. Is that how we feel about our situation? Is that how we feel about our current society? Well, that's who they are, always will be. Remember, some folks will refuse to believe no matter how obvious the facts are. But when God does the unusual, people want to know. Look at verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? The neighbors saw him. Remember that? The neighbors, therefore, which were had seen him, when that he was blind, verse 8, said, is not this the he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, it's like him. But he said, no, I'm he. Well, okay, if you're him, this is really you, the same guy. How is it that your eyes are open? Why is it you can see things different like you ever have before? And he answered, he said, well, man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Cool. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. Okay, so just some man, and you don't even know who he is. Sounds pretty shady to me. The cult, that's what it is, the cult. You're in some kind of cult. They messed you up somehow or other. I don't know. The whole thing must be a crock. Where is he now? You were probably never blind in the first place. You were just been going around your entire life looking for pity and wanting folks to give you a handout, you lazy man. Number 6, trust and obey no matter what religion says. We should trust and obey no matter what others say, but trust and obey no matter what religion says. Religion doesn't know anything about the miracle-working power of God. Religion doesn't know. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. They didn't know. Why? They're blind. They're blind leaders of the blind. That's what Jesus said. This can't be real. I mean, if this is real, that means there's actually something bigger than us. How did you receive your sight? He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. He just made man's eyes that were blind to see, and you're worried they did it on the Sabbath day. Can't be right. You know what? Sometimes God needs to mess up our schedule. Mess up our plans, go against the rules. That's what it takes to get our attention. Can't be of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Listen, trusting God may necessitate us changing our theology to match the word of God rather than the word of man. This is the way we've always done it. Well, I'm not going to do it this way. Three times we see it. Jesus came and touched him. And all I'm supposed to do is trust and obey. No matter how silly it seems and no matter what it says, whoever says it won't work. Our lives are not seeing all that we could see from God because we fail to trust and obey. Our marriages are not seeing all that we could see God do because sometimes we fail to simply trust and obey. We're not seeing the miracle working power of God that we need in our homes sometimes because we failed to trust and obey. We don't see the power of God on our ministries and on our area because often because we just simply failed to trust and obey. The silly things. Well, I know he said to go all the way over to Siloam to do that, but there's some water right here. This is close enough. We'll do it this way. I wouldn't take the risk of losing the blessing of God because of a few extra steps. Why do we want to do that? Well, this is close enough. Is that what God said? Is that what he says at work? This is good enough to just do it this way. If that's not what he said, then why are we doing all this? It all seems impossible, but nothing is impossible when we trust and obey. We've watched our society go down the drain because many Christians in our society have not been willing to simply trust and obey. That's the truth. Well, they're all going to be, listen, they're all going to, that's the way they're going to be forever anyway. Why are we even waste our time? That man's always going to be blind. There's nothing, not a thing you can do it. Nope, not a thing we can do about it. There's a lot of things God can do about it. He can touch the eyes. He can bring some mud up there and do it that way. He can do it any way he wants to do it. I started to call this message. I'm about done. That's all I got to do right here. I started to call this message, "Does the power of God scare you?" And I think sometimes that's what it is. We like it. We like to see him doing some things. But I don't know about you, but I think sometimes some churches who get kind of crazy with some things, I think we kind of get scared. We don't want to go there. We don't actually see God do something. I'm not talking we're going to have a big healing service or anything. I'm not talking about that. But if he wants to heal, he can. And if he wants to make a difference in somebody's life that we have counted off, so that's where they always will be. If he wants to make a difference in that life, he can. Some of us are too afraid of the power of God to step out in faith. God might do something I can't control. God might do something I can't explain. And if what God does not line up with what I have decided God does, then either God is wrong or it's not God working. This can't be of God. He did it on the Sabbath day. Got that figured out. That can't be God. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, and I know we got to be careful, and I'm not going to get on the platform with a bunch of stuff that we can't go with. But the fact is, folks, I try to preach and deal in reality here, and the fact is, God has used some people in other denominations that are not independent Baptist church, and they've gotten folks saved. I can't be right. They're not independent fundamental Baptist. Now, you know where I stand in the King James Bible. That's what we do. That's the one we ought to have. I've studied it. That's the one we need. But do you realize there were some people who have been led to the Lord without a King James Bible? I mean, they might have been even holding an NIV or, his message or the Living Bible. I don't know. Who knows? What Bible were they holding in the book of Acts? It wasn't written yet. And what was written, most people didn't have because it was scrolls and only the rabbis had. I'm not making light of it. We're King James. We're independent fundamental Baptist because all those things I think are best. But the fact is, God might do something. Sometimes we're so busy trying to make sure everybody lines up on the line, just where we put the line. Up, 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 up. God can't do that if we don't do this. Well, This is the line right here. This thing right here is the line that's drawn. That's where we need to stand. Be careful standing anywhere or adding stones to our little porch here. This is where we stand right here in this book. If what God does not line up with what I have decided God does, then either God is wrong or is not God working. The key word is what I have decided God does. This is where we start hearing, we ain't never done it that way before. We have a society outside these doors that were born blind. They cannot see. And we should not expect them to see. What needs to be done is outside of our abilities and outside of our control. It is as if something supernatural happens, it must be of Satan rather than God, because we don't see God doing anything supernatural. You hear about the guy who he was visiting the church, and the preacher started preaching, and the man said, amen. Everybody kind of looked around at him. The preacher said something else, and he said, amen. The preacher preached a little bit more. He said, well, praise the Lord. Finally, the usher came over, and he tapped the man on the shoulder. He said, you're going to have to be quiet. The preacher preached a little bit long later, and all of a sudden he says, well, hallelujah. And the guy came back over and says, you're going to have to be quiet. The man says, listen, I got the Spirit. He said, well, you didn't get it here, so be quiet. We need to take the blind to see Jesus. We might need to help to wash the dirt out of their eyes. Their eyes are full of dirt. They've seen all, listen, their eyes have affected their heart and what they've seen. They may not be able to find their way to see him, but Jesus can make their eyes to see if they want to see. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Lord, do a work in our hearts. May we have a vision to see what God can do for those who can't see. Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. The piano's going to play, and the piano organ's going to play as soon.